Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. You know what time it is. 6 o'clock Fridays. Right here on blogtalkradio.com. We heard all across the country in Florida, WWPR 1490 AM in Florida. And right here is blogtalkradio.com, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I have a great show lined up for you. Today, lots going on. What, the Supreme Court has just opened the floodgates. Let's see how the GOP is going to respond to this. And this is perfect for the upcoming elections, because now the Supreme Court and a large majority of Americans are down with gay marriage. And I think the biggest blow was the Obamacare ruling. That's what they call it anyway. It's the Affordable Care Act. The ACA was given the green light by the United States Supreme Court. So once again, the GOP, the Kook Fringe Tea Party, and those folks, once again now they have to try to figure out what they're going to do. Now, it's a slippery slope, because now this is the law of the land now. You know, and the GOP is already so far removed from everything. Excuse me, they're so far removed from what Americans actually want. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to this. Now, you have 14 people running for office. 14. And we'll get on that. We'll talk about the GOP. We'll talk about the presidential clown car that's going on in the GOP. And we're also going to talk about the Confederate flag. And the funeral was held today for the state senator who was killed, along with 8 other folks who attended Bible study, by this filthy animal, goes by the name of Dylan Roof, 21 years old, who sat with these parishioners for an hour. Sat with them. I mean, you have to be the coldest, most calculating creep on the face of the earth. He sat with these people for an entire hour and then stood up and blew them away. After they welcomed him in, welcomed this creepy-looking, you know, Dutch boy, haircut wearing white kid, who, you know, I would have suspected from day one, what are you doing here? But with that, you know, these folks, true Christians, obviously I'm not, these folks welcomed him in. And they welcomed him in, and he sat down with them, and he prayed with them, whatever he did, pretended to pray, whatever the case may be. Pretended to be interested, and then shot him and shot 8 of them, 9 of them. President Obama at the one of the funerals today for the state senator, who he knew personally. All right, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Confederate flag. That's the fever about the Confederate flag. I mean, taking the flag off the General Lee on the Dukes of Hazzard show. What's the significance of this anyway? I mean, yeah, okay, you want to remove racist, you know, you want to remove symbols of hatred and racism, like swastikas, et cetera, et cetera. You know, SS, the lightning bolts. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you want to do that. But what difference is it going to make in the black community? You know, a lot of our folks are chomping at the bit, removing from here, removing from there. Lawmakers in Brooklyn now are saying that maybe we should remove the names of Lee and Stonewall from General Lee and Stonewall Jackson, who were Confederate officers, remove their names from streets in Brooklyn. I mean, I think it's a little, you know, I think it's getting a little out of hand, personally speaking. 347-426-3214 is the phone number here. 347-426-3214. If you have a question or you have a beef with me, 347-426-3214. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on Block Talk Radio for the moment. .com. Once again, thank you everybody for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And it looks like the Ron Kelly Show is going to be a solo act once again. Mayor Wayne Smith has disappeared from public view. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but it looks like it's going to be a solo act right here on the Ron Kelly Show, which it has been for the last few years. You know, people come and go. You know, I go off topic for a minute. And people come and go. You know, I've had more co-hosts than Elizabeth Taylor's has husbands. And I've had so many co-hosts come and go. Some, you know, the best one was the first one. That was Cindy Hunt. Shout out to Cindy Hunt, who was my first co-host, very first co-host on the Ron Kelly Show at William Patterson University, WPSC 88.7 FM. They call it Brave Radio now, something like that. But anyway, Cindy Hunt, shout out to her. Cindy Hunt, who was my very first co-host who had, and the only one who had a legitimate reason to leave. She had twins. You know, Cindy would come to the station. We operated at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey, and Cindy would come to the station every day. Let me go on a rant for a second here. Cindy would come on to the station every morning, Sunday morning now, before she went on to church. She had to do it. She had a husband. She had children, you know, but she came up to the station every Sunday morning, did what she had to do when she left, and went to church right after she left the radio show. Now, Cindy left because she had a baby. She had two babies, actually. She had twins. And that was the reason why she left the show. Okay, she's the only co-host, the first and the only co-host I've had that left for a legitimate reason. Some leave, some come, some go, some, you know, and the large majority of them never told me why they were leaving the show. They just left. You know, but this is my dream. This is my thing. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it will always be the Ron Kelly Show. So it's fine, you know. Folks come and go. You know, hey, it is what it is. But don't come crawling back when the show goes national. All right, everybody. We got a great show lined up for you today. Again, the obsession with the Confederate flag. Now, I've talked to some folks. I mean, there's some ignorant black folks. I mean, if ignorance is bliss, there's a lot of happy people around here. Because I talked to some ignorant, one, I won't say her name, but she, for example, let's talk about the Confederate flag for a minute. I mean, and so there's a lot of racism on the black side, too, now. There's a lot of folks in the black community who just straight hatred of white folks. Hatred. I was on Facebook yesterday. Facebook, only 2% of blacks. Facebook, the statistics just came out. Facebook, overwhelmingly white. 51% white, 40-some percent Asian. The other folks, and only 2% black. The lowest amount of folks on the internet. 2% black. 2% of the billions of people that are on Facebook are black. Only 2%. Sidebar. Anyway, so there's and a woman on Facebook, she was making a post. And she posted about her husband who was acted white, she said. Now, what the hell is that? You know, what's acting white? You know, what does that mean, acting white? Does that mean that he spoke proper? That he, you know, that he knew the difference between the salad fork and the regular fork? I mean, did he wash his fingers in a bowl like some folks? I mean, what was it that made him so white? And I meant to ask her that. What is this acting white stuff? You know, what is this acting white stuff? I just don't get it. So and she says that's why she divorced him, because he was white. You know, see, there's a lot of racism on the black side, too. There's a lot of black people who just hate white folks, period. And then there's a lot of us that, you know, we're going around and we're demanding that the flag comes down. There's folks who just hate white folks. I mean, there's racism on both sides. Now, I'm not approving of Confederate flag being flown, which someone accused me of yesterday of endorsing. Send please. I'm just trying to have a conversation. I'm not trying to, you know, my show does well. I'm not trying to, you know, get you to come on the show so I can boost my ratings. My show does all right without you. But people, you know, this nonsense I just don't get it. Because removing that flag from It's a symbol of racism, and yes, the flag should not be flown on state property. No, it should not be flown on public property. Okay, let's get that. And this is the problem: the flag's being flown on public property, which makes it look like the state is endorsing the Confederacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you see now that what has happened is that this obsession with the Confederate flag has boosted the Confederate flag sales 1,000%. Because folks, just like when there was a chance, when the NRA and the gun lobbyists had a feeling that guns would be controlled, there'd be stricter guns legislation, they went out and bought guns. When the NRA and the Second Amendment folks began to believe that their guns would be taken away or they'd be unable to buy guns at some point, they went out and bought guns in mass. You know, and see, and this is the same thing that's gonna that's happening now with this Confederate flag. Because there's a lot of people who still sell those flags. Just because Sears and JCPenney and some of the other places and Walmart is gonna stop selling them doesn't mean because the mom and pop stores will still be selling them. They'll still be flying off the shelves in Tennessee and probably in South Carolina too. See, because the problem was that the flag was being flown on public property. Now, you know, anybody can fly them in front of their houses. They put them on the back of their cars. Now, you can't make a person take the flag. Now, see, because there's a lot more people than there are, like, Dukes of Hazzard, General Lees. And what's going to happen now? People are going to start painting the flag on their cars. People are going to start buying the flag. You're going to see the flag flying more and more and more. And that's what this thing with the obsession with the flag has done. That's what it's done. So now you're going to see the flag, you know, flying everywhere. Well, not in the north where I'm at, New York City metropolitan area. You won't see it that much up here. But if you go down south where the cotton fields are growing, you're going to see plenty of flags flying from people's, you know, just like they fly flags for the football teams and stuff like that. They fly the American flag on 4th of July. You're going to see people flying those flags in front of their houses like crazy, because the sales of the flags have gone up 100%. Because once again, just like the NRA and the Second Amendment folks, the people who believe in the Confederacy are buying, you know, they're going out and they're buying the flag. Because they know, because they're thinking or they're under the belief that at some point they won't be able to buy the flags anymore. So they're stockpiling them. And mark my words, you're going to see more people flying those flags because they have the right to, as an individual in the United States of America, they have a right to fly those flags. And you're going to see people flying those flags like crazy in those states, Texas, those lower Louisiana, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, those lower states. You're going to see those flags flying all over the place. Because you can't stop an individual from flying that flag. Now, the governor of Alabama has already removed them. I mean, good deal. I appreciate that. I really do. He should move them. Remove them. They should be removed from no state or state property no municipal, state, or federal government property should be flying that flag, period. But that's not going to stop individuals from flying it. So you're not removing it. You're removing it from public property, but you're going to see even more now. You know, you dial it back to 2008 and the election of President Obama. Oh, President Obama's, you know, racism is over because 60 million white folks voted for President Obama because there's not if every black person in America voted for Obama, he would still lose if no white folks voted for him. So, the president, you know, we got a black president now, so racism is over, and we have overcome, and let's circle around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. No, it got worse. With the election of President Obama, things got worse, 100% worse. because we never had a president other than a white man in the White House. So it was very upsetting to a lot of people in this country. I mean, not the 60 million that voted for him, but 60 million people, maybe 63, 65 million people voted for President Obama. What happened to the other? So you got to think maybe 150 million people voted for Obama and Senator McCain, for example. Maybe, you know, somewhere thereabouts, 160, 170 million people voted in the 2008 presidential election. So what about the other 200 million who didn't vote? You see, those are the folks that are the militia, and those are the folks that are out there hating on President Obama. Now, President Obama, you know, becomes first black president ever, and the N-word is flying around, Porch Monkey, Curious George, because of his ears, looks kind of funny. You know, apes, and this and that and the other, all over the place, since the president became, since Obama became president. So instead of, you know, calming things down, the election of President Obama revved things up. You know, we had multiple, I think 2,000 or 3,000 more groups have sprung up since Obama became president. And with all the socialist and the lying GOP talking about, you know, he's a socialist, he's a Muslim, he's this, that, and the other, he's going to take your money from you. You know, and something, people believe that stuff. But, you know, but going back to the black community now, what is the removing that flag going to do for black folks? What is that, you know, is it going to stop the murders? Last weekend in Chicago, for example, 3 dead, 33 wounded, 33, 34 people wounded by gunfire. Blacks, all blacks, the dead ones and the wounded ones, all black. In Elizabeth, New Jersey, Linden, New Jersey, yesterday, 3 people killed. And these are not, like, Elizabeth is not, you know, is not a really big town. And Linden is even smaller. 3 deaths. So the gunfire is spreading all across the country in the black community. And black folks are being killed left and right. But everybody's obsessed with this flag. And police brutality. I'm not, you know, going to sit here and say that police brutality shouldn't be addressed or that this flag thing shouldn't be addressed. Hell yeah, it should be addressed. And that flag should not fly on public property. But what are you going to do about the guy across the street that's flying it? What are you going to do when you go down south to see your people and you see the flag on every other house? There's nothing you can do about that because they have a right to fly it. So this is clearly, you know, something symbolic. And people are, and I talk to people who are just straight, you know, just hate white people. So there's hate on both sides. It's not just poor us, the black folks, and we're being, no, there's whites that are being hated too. And listen, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm not saying that you know, either side is right. But, you know, there's hate on both sides. We're going to get more into this. Hillary Clinton's poll numbers are shrinking. We'll talk about that. And also we will talk more about the Supreme Court's stamp of approval on gay marriage. Now, I'm not a proponent of gay marriage, but I think that anybody who, you know, if you should be allowed, if it's the law, you should be allowed to do it. Just like I'm not a big proponent of abortion, but if it's the law, women should be allowed to have abortions, if, you know, because it's the law. Am I a backer of either of these things? No. I think a man should be married to a woman and vice versa. And I don't think a woman should have an abortion, but who am I? If she wants to do it, let her do it. It's the law. Whether I agree with it or not, it's the law. All righty, then we'll take a break and we'll come right back with more. You know who it is and you know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Friday evening, ladies and gentlemen. Friday evening. About 20 minutes past the hour, we'll take a break and we'll come right back with more. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETTPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. TheRonKellyShow.com is the official website of the Ron Kelly Show where you can get at me. You know, there's the archives are there, the shows, every show that's produced and aired winds up on the Ron Kelly Show website. And also, there's a merchandise page, ladies and gentlemen. Merchandise page, which you can purchase Ron Kelly Show merchandise, which many of you have done. Thank you so much for that. Once we get the legality straight, we'll set up a charity where we'll be giving the money that generated from the Ron Kelly Show, sale of Ron Kelly Show merchandise to a charity. We'll get that hooked up. We have to make sure it's legal now. We have to make sure everything's legal and above board because this is a company. All right, everybody, it's about half past the hour. You're listening to, you know, who's yours truly, the Ron Kelly Show. It's right here on blogtalkradio.com, Fridays, 6 p.m. for now. You know, and I'm always looking for new things, so, you know, and I'm always looking for other places to put the show. And we'll be doing that very shortly, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And I'll post it on my social media, Facebook, LinkedIn. Shout out to my folks on LinkedIn. The folks who come after me every day, the veracity, these folks who try to come after me, you know, the kook fringe Republicans who can't stand me, but I bet you they're listening. All right, everybody, shout out to my director, Marty Hurstein, who is the director of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, one of the top schools in the country for radio broadcasting and television, which I will be attending. Yes, I can admit it. The R might need a little work. So I will be attending the Connecticut School of Broadcasting next month, as a matter of fact. Because there's some equipment I need to learn how to use because internet radio is really not my thing. I mean, you know, but you got to be on the radio to be relevant, and I do put every effort into this. So, even though I'm not a fan of internet radio, I still put every effort into bringing you guys a good show while I'm here. But look for the Ron Kelly Show to be on terrestrial radio probably in November. You know, look for the Ron Kelly Show to move on from internet. I mean, you know, the internet is fine. You can do it. You know, internet is for internet broadcasts of your show that airs on terrestrial radio. That's what the internet is for. All this talk about the internet. All this talk about the internet going, you know, terrestrial radio going away, internet radio taking over. No, not going to happen. At least not anytime soon. Not in this century. But in any case, everybody, welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Friday, the 26th of June, 2015. The weather has been horrible. Hot one day, and especially here in the Northeast, where it has been a complete monsoon. Last week, I was on vacation, and it rained every day. So I had to bail out, and I went down to Ocean City, Maryland. Had a great time. Shout out to my folks down in Ocean City. Weren't able to do the show from down there because the Wi-Fi system sucked. But so I wasn't able to do the show last week. I apologize for that for those of you who are waiting for the show. All right, gay marriage. Gay marriage is the law of the land. So all of the states that have banned it, so-called banned it, are now handing out applications. And the GOP and the Kook Fringe conservatives are two blows. I mean, it's too much for them to handle. Because you had the Obamacare, which was the major blow to the kook fringe nonsense that the Republicans have been spouting about the Affordable Care Act, which its proper name, but it's called Obamacare. You know, is a derogatory remark, as if the president hasn't heard any, and his family, daughters and wife included, haven't heard enough derogatory remarks from folks going after them now. So it's called Obamacare. That's not the real name, but that's just a derogatory remark. Anyway, it's the Affordable Care Act. It's supposed to be Affordable Care Act. And at issue was taxpayer subsidies. That was the issue. See, that was another, you know, the Republicans, they had everything to do with this. So the issue was taxpayer subsidies. Was it legal to have taxpayer subsidies pay for this health care law? Was it legal? Now, you know, now President Obama, before he became Senator Obama or State Senator Obama, is a constitutional law scholar. You know, President Obama is an expert in constitutional law. That's what he, because, you know, you have different, specialties when you're going through law school. You can be a defense lawyer, a criminal lawyer, you know, tax lawyer, entertainment lawyer. You know, there's a lot of different areas you can move. Just like a doctor, you can be a dentist, you can be a podiatrist, you can be a brain surgeon, a chiropractor, general practitioner. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you go, and the same thing goes for lawyers as well. You can be whatever you want to be. There's so many different specialties. So President Obama chose constitutional law. That's what he went to Harvard for. Now, do you think the man is stupid? You know, wouldn't anybody with some common sense think that the president has already looked over this? But I'm talking about people with common sense, which they don't have. So the president wins. A 6-3 vote, which is huge. Because the Supreme Court's the Supreme Court's stamp of approval on gay marriage was 5-4, very narrow. We'll find out who was yay and who was nay. But the Obamacare, Justice Anthony Kennedy, and Chief Justice John Roberts voted in favor of Obamacare, which was wow. I'm like, wow. Because, you see, John Roberts was the deciding vote initially in 2010 when they first rolled this thing out. And John Roberts, who was appointed by former President George Bush, you know, see, these presidents know what they're doing because they want to leave, the presidents love they don't love when injustice dies, that it's an opportunity to kind of shape the world or shape or leave their thumbprint on America by choosing a Supreme Court justice, because Supreme Court justices serve forever until they die or step down. They get appointed once, that's it. And most of them stay until they die. I heard it's a pretty good job. Now, if you went to law school, that's the ultimate. That's like being the number one draft pick. You know, that's like being a LeBron James, you know, of law. You know, you're on the top team. So President Obama is a constitutional law expert. So why wouldn't this go through? But again, you know, these justices are people too. And while they're not supposed to allow their prejudices or whatever to shape their opinions, of course it does. Of course they do. They do it all the time. So here we are, the gay marriage. First the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. Especially the people on LinkedIn who hate my guts, but they respond thousands of comments on my posts. I wasn't a big fan of Obamacare. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan. You know, I'm like, hey, you don't have any insurance? That's your problem. That was my, take on it in the beginning. You know. But people need health care. See, because somebody with insurance, I mean, you go into the emergency room is the primary care physician for a lot of people. It's emergency room. That's where they go. So you go to the emergency room in an urban area, and it's packed. You can't even get in there. And you got insurance. You got a legitimate beef or something's really wrong with you, and you can't even get in there because there's so many people without insurance. They have no choice but to go to the doctor. I mean, go to the emergency room. They have no choice. So, I mean, we need the Affordable Care Act. We need the Affordable Care Act because people don't have insurance. They should be allowed to go. They should be allowed to go to a doctor. Because you go to the emergency room again, you go say for something minor, there's 500 people in there, and you never get in. You wind up staying there for 2 or 3 days. So we need the Affordable Care Act, even though I'm not the biggest fan of it, but I know there are folks out there who need it. So in that case, you know, I have to acquiesce and approve. Okay. All right, who's on the line?
Hi, how are you, sir? I agree with that. I won't acquiesce. I actually lobbied for the Affordable Care Act. It's Wayne Smith.
Mayor Wayne, the hit squad is looking for you. So.
Yeah, listen. I was bogged down with some work, and we usually talk before the show, but I'm glad you're talking about the Affordable Care Act. I think that the president should be proud of one of his greatest legislative achievements, that the Supreme Court, anytime you have a dispute between the branches of government, the final arbiter is the courts of the land. And even they, who allowed it in the first place, because they were in the pickle, I couldn't see how they could back up. Because remember, it was challenged in the first place. And
they approved it the first time.
That's yes. I can't see how they could have even remotely tried to back up.
Yeah, and I talked about just say it right. Right, and I talked about Justice John Roberts, who was the deciding vote the first time.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
but
interesting enough,
I'm glad the vote was, what, it's 6-3.
It was overwhelming.
You know, 5-4 votes, sometimes you wonder if somebody had got up on the wrong side of the day, it could have been different. But it was a clear majority.
Right, and you had Justice John Roberts, and you also had Justice Anthony Kennedy.
Right.
Who surprisingly
kind of
enough.
You're more moderates on the court.
Right,
upheld it.
Right, but John Roberts was a Bush appointee.
Yeah, yeah. No, you would think that he would be more. But, you know, listen, I can't. It was authorized. People forget that it passed Congress the first time. So, you know, so now that every time you get a new Congress, the law is going to change. I mean, that's possible. But, you know, they have been back and forth with this thing 100 times. So you got some people in some states going to have the right to it, and other places no. Yeah, I think we would have had, you know, I think we'd have had some arguing in the streets over that one.
But I think that, you know, like I said, I wasn't the biggest fan of Obamacare, well, the Affordable Care Act.
No,
I don't want to
tell me, Ron, why not?
Well, because, you know, see, these things work in some other countries, like in Sweden and some countries where they only have
sure.
like 10 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
These countries have a handful of people. You know, you got 10 million, 50 million people in the whole entire country. In America, you have 300 million people. And see, my first thought was, oh, boy, now I got to pay for this. Which
well, you know,
was many,
pay,
which was our, many of
people.
Us thought. Yeah,
yeah
many
you pay
of us
for
thought
the people
that.
Without insurance too, and
I don't,
you pay
I mean,
more.
And I don't want to pay for them.
But listen, but
wanna.
you pay more. So here's what happens: when people end up with no insurance in the emergency room and don't have health insurance to go to a physician, they end up because they're in an acute dynamic more cases than not. So the cost of treating them exponentially goes up, as opposed to giving them some care so that they can get into a primary physician and take care of those issues before they become acute. And so when you look at some of the math around this, you say, wow. And you look at your own care. If you wait, and you know, because some of us, there's this theory that men do less care of themselves than women. And so when we wait and say, oh, that's just a little bump or bruise, and we find out when we get to the doctor it's something else that we could have taken care of when we first felt it or heard about it or whatever, because we wait. Imagine here's a person who doesn't have health care. He got to decide whether or not he goes to the doctor or he or she eats, and then they just keep waiting and waiting. With time they do get, the cost of treating that, the cost of even hospitalizing that without any kind of health care, cost the society more. And so we pay for that. We pay for that in many and sundry ways. So actually the president's concept actually is going to save the society a whole lot more money and have more productive and healthy people out there that will be contributing members of society. So that was kind of my view. And, if you look at people, even everyday working class people who just did not have health care, the dynamics around that issue, I've seen families crippled, man, behind, go to work every day, pay their bills, but just could not, you know, didn't have health insurance. You know, a lot of these companies wouldn't offer it or couldn't afford to offer it, whatever the dynamics were. And then when you listen to them, illness can wipe a family out.
Yeah, and I understand that, but when did it become my problem to give somebody else insurance? See, I'm already paying enough taxes, man.
Well,
Smith.
You know, well,
I'm already paying enough. They're already killing me because I'm single, and right now I don't own any property at the moment.
So when you look at what in our state, because we're both New Jerseyans, the cost of charity care rose every year. That number over the last couple years is down. And even overall health care costs for many people is down. So, you know, I don't know what kind of care. I look at, you know, we get real parochial, so we look at it from where we sit. So my health care hasn't went up since the Affordable Care Act. It's, you know, pretty much about the same. And I'd rather have people have health care than when we get that bill about or the other thing that you have to look at, too, is particularly in places like where we live when we are in close proximity, New Jersey and New York lost more hospitals. You know why?
Because there wasn't any money. Right.
Well,
any
money because they had to treat people without what?
Right, because right in Passaic, as a matter of fact, in Passaic, they lost the hospital.
Well,
you got
a ton of them.
Yeah, and Newark lost quite a few of them. United,
yeah,
and a couple of others.
Down in the Ironbound section,
Columbus Hospital. Right, Columbus Hospital is going to close soon. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, so that's what not having health insurance does to people.
Well, I still don't want to pay, damn it. I'm paying enough taxes.
You're going to pay it, and I think the president did us a favor by intervening so that bill doesn't get worse and the cost to society doesn't get worse.
I'm paying too much now as it is. My tax bill.
But then listen.
FICA alone. Now, this is just this one tax. FICA alone for me was over 10.
So for our listening audience, that's Social Security.
Right. FICA, whatever that.
I don't want them to think it's the FDIC.
No, I hope they're not thinking that. And that's what I want to do, FDIC. Put my money in a bank. Let me say this.
Some people believe, and there are financial theorists that believe that, you know, one part of my business, we deal in financial services. So there are many people who believe that they could get a better return on their money by putting it in some other financial instrument. The problem with that is research has shown that a majority of people ain't going to put that money nowhere. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pay Verizon or the PSE&G and never receive for retirement. And so, I mean, the data is clear on this kind of stuff. We would end up with so many older folks, and they're struggling now even with Social Security. And I think also the alarm clock about Social Security, I don't think the system is at risk. The challenge is if we don't keep a growing economy over the next 20 or so years, than it did. We could have a problem, but we're talking 20, 30 years. Maybe some of us may not even be here during that period of time. I mean, I hope I am. I'm going to try to do everything I can to be here 20 years from now. But I'll be awfully old, and I'm going to run and get my Social Security as quickly as I can because there's a lot of theorists say we should wait till 70. Well,
my plan is to not have to worry about Social Security.
Well, that's good. We'll get, you know, my plan is to do that,
plan.
Too.
But sometimes the best
laid plans of mice and men go awry. So I like the fact that I have paid into that system for 25 plus years, and I've paid into it. There's not been a period when I have not been contributing to it in my life since I was able to work. So I'm looking for, you know, to get my money out of
it. Yeah. I get it. I suspect, how you can check. I'll be getting a sizable check, but I plan to be shining my shoes with that check because I plan to have so much money.
And I'm with you, Ron. I'm working every day and night, so I don't have to rely on it, but I'm sure going to get it. It's my work.
Yeah.
And look, we all feel that pinch when it comes out of our check. And you know, some of the things
like
could have been done differently on the disability side and all that kind of stuff, where people may not have contributed, and we're paying a tremendous amount on that side. So, I don't know what you do, and that's why a growing economy is important, because when this whole question that we're dealing with as a society of what they call income inequality, you've been blessed, you've worked most of your life. I've been blessed. I've worked most of my life. I got a call from an old friend that I went to elementary and junior high. And out of the blue, you know, he had hit me up online. I gave him my number. He called me today. So we spent some time reminiscing. And we looked at the people that we grew up with who didn't fare the ones who fared well that we're maybe in contact with or who are, you know, working families that survive and are doing okay. But then there's a hell of a lot of people, man, that did not make that cut. And are either in the grave, and I can still consider myself a reasonably young man, who either stretched out and make that wrong turn. I'm sure, Ron, you have some friends that you grew up with that, God, when you see them, you almost don't recognize them because they've had life hit them, or they're not even around anymore.
I don't recognize a lot of them, but see, I'm doing everything I can. I go to the gym 3 times a week.
We've been blessed, right? No matter what challenges we have right now or goals that we may not have achieved, by and large, we've been blessed comparatively to other people. So, but there's a hell of a lot of people who needed all kinds of help, and some of it not because they weren't trying or striving, and that's why I even go to the point of
sometimes things just happen. Right, sometimes things just happen.
Yeah, you know. And or they just, you know, they people are not lazy. They go to work every day. and still can't make enough to make ends meet, or they make enough to make ends meet, but they can't afford health care.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back, everybody. We're going to talk a little bit more about this flag situation. And 14.
Oh, the Confederate flag, yeah.
Right,
boy.
And 14, I talked about a little, I opened the show with it, actually. 14, mm-hmm. 14 Republican presidential candidates. Chris Christie, who owned 3 out of 10 with the poorest poll numbers in his governorship. 3 out of 10 folks think he's doing a good job. Just out and out poor. We'll take a break, everybody. We'll come right back. Myself and Mayor Wayne Smith. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
If you're looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet in town for only $1.99, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for juicy burgers, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for tender brisket and succulent ribs, come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at the age of 47, leaving his wife and 3 children, struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father. So he won't be around to take care of his family. And the sad part is that all could have been detected early with a simple test, but Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical tests you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. Once again, that's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Take a load of shortbread, touching up bar. How many cheeks? Take a load of shortbread, touching up bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, it's ronkellyshow.com, the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. Run over there and check it out. Shout out to my director, Marty Herstein, who's the director of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And yours truly, yes, yours truly. I can admit when I need some work. The R. We'll be attending the Connecticut School of Broadcasting next month, actually, starting in July. 2 nights a week, trying to step my bid up. I'm going to make this thing work if it kills me. All right, everybody. It's 10 minutes left.
It's not going to
kill you. I'll die happy because, hey, at least I tried. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, so, have all the millions you want.
I plan to have millions.
Steve Harvey.
I want to be like Don Imus. Don Imus is 74 years old and he's still making a lot of money. He doesn't talk about Social Security because he doesn't need it. All right, everybody, got 10 minutes left of the show, so let's keep our answers short. I'm going to try to keep mine short. All right, the Confederate flag, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I'll see if I can get into the Republican candidates. If I can, if not, you know, I apologize. I'll get to it next week. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. In any case, the Confederate flag sales have quadrupled. Just like when, I spoke about this a little bit earlier. The sales of the Confederate flag have quadrupled because just as I talked about earlier about when gun legislation and gun control was on the table and there was a real fear amongst the NRA and the gun toting folks, there was a real fear that their guns would be taken away. So they went out and they started buying guns en masse like crazy, and the gun sales went through the roof. And the same thing is happening with this Confederate flag. So we're actually boosting the sales. There are many, you know, the number one flag maker in the world is right here in New Jersey. And,
you know, a lot of people stop selling it though. I thought a lot.
Right, but you can't stop the mom and pops from selling it. See, these big companies don't sell them. So what? They sell a whole lot of. See, nobody's going to Nobody's going to Walmart for a Confederate flag or Sears. They're not going there for that. They're going there for appliances and clothes and stuff like that. They're not going there for that. You know what I mean? So,
but they were selling
it. They'll sell somewhere else. The person
on
the corner.
Listen, your candidate,
they'll sell,
which will probably be my candidate too, but your candidate for president on the Democratic side.
She's not my candidate. She's not my candidate.
Not
I don't
yet.
Have a candidate. I don't have a candidate
right.
yet.
Okay,
I may wind up with, I may wind up with nothing. But there's a...
No, you're going to vote for somebody. But listen, they had a symbol in the southern states with that Confederate thing on in their campaign.
Right, in Arkansas, as a matter of fact, when Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, they did a tribute to the Confederacy, and that flag was flown in Arkansas, where Bill Clinton was the governor before he became president. So, yeah, so Hillary Clinton has a history with this flag, and she's going to have to explain it. And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is hot on her tail now, who's come out of nowhere. Vermont Governor Bernie Sanders is hot on her tail, come out of nowhere, and now he's just a few percentage points. Yeah, Senator Bernie Sanders is just a few percentage points behind Hillary Clinton. But, see, now there's a lot of folks, and I talk to folks on Facebook, and they're just straight-up racist. I'm talking about black folks. Who was straight hate?
Listen, I heard that black woman on there defending the Confederate flag. You hear that?
No, I wouldn't defend it, but I would say
that. No, black woman was defending the Confederate flag. I listened to my wife, had me listen to it this morning. I couldn't believe it.
Well, she might not have been defending the flag per se, but she may have been defending their right to have it, and they do have a right to have it.
She was defending the flag. She's a Tea Party person. I listened to her, Ron.
Oh, well, yeah, well, you expect that. I mean, they dig them out. They dig those black folks up whenever they need them. You know, they dig them up. They pull them out the closet, dust them off.
Yeah, I was shocked.
And they put them on TV. I mean, that's what they do. They find black folks who are conservatives. You know, they're only using them, and they don't realize they're just pawns.
Well, I'm using very liberal about people's thinking, but what people say they want the Confederate flag, then they're saying they want the treasonous group from the United States who wanted to secede from the Union over me, over my ancestors to be slaves. That's what the Civil War was about. And so you're saying if you support that flag, then you support us remaining in slavery.
But see, for people, you know, but again, though, I'm not surprised at nothing that people say anymore. Because I read a lot, I hear a lot, and I hear a lot of folks. And see, this is what the GOP does. They're masters of disguise. And they'll pull out a black person, they'll find one. They'll find a black person who may be well-to-do. Because you're not going to find no white. You see, you're not going to find a poor black person that's going to go on TV and declare that they're a conservative. The only conservatives are the black folks who are well-to-do. They've done well. And, you know, because sometimes money moves people from one party to another. And the well-to-do black folks are the ones who will go on the conservative side, and they'll go on TV, and they'll declare their allegiance to the GOP, who don't give a damn about them. They're just using them, and they don't understand that. So this is what happened. So I'm not surprised by that at all.
Oh, wow. That thing shocked me. I woke up this morning, my wife said, listen to this.
It doesn't surprise me, because that's what GOP does. They find these people, they know where they are, they seek them out, they find them, and they put them on the air because they say, okay, I'm going to get a black person to say what I want to say. I'm going to find a black person to do it because it resonates more, and they know it pisses us off, so that's why they do it. They find a black – well, it didn't piss me off because I expect it, but – this is what they do. They find these folks and they put them on the air. That's what they do. They're masters. They're masters at this stuff. You know, they're masters. They're masters. And that's what they do. You know? So it's not a surprise to me that they do this stuff. Not a surprise.
All right. But they, listen, surprise. They certainly rocked my boat this morning.
These people are everywhere. You know, they find these black conservative disillusioned folks, but they have a right to be conservatives, though.
Listen, it depends on how you can define conservatives.
Well, see, there's some black folks who look at people who are obsessed with this flag being removed. the flag will only be removed.
That's, I don't consider that conservative for a black person. I consider that
no,
stupid. You're going to defend the Confederate flag. I have to
well,
be honest.
But the flag, well, yeah, okay, but the flag.
So if you say
flag,
you're for limited government, you want lower taxation, you have a.
I do. You
have a conservative fiscal philosophy where I might be much more liberal about government spending or whatever the case may be. That's a legitimate debate.
But essentially
what you're saying is you want to defend the flag that says we believe that you should be a slave.
Here's what happens. See, when you get into that tax bracket, you know what I'm saying? When you get into that tax bracket, you start to look for lower government. I'm in that tax bracket. I'm considered upper middle class.
I don't have a problem with that. With people who have that, I know black conservative Republicans, but they won't defend the Confederate flag. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and she shouldn't. She shouldn't. But that's her right, though. She is American. She has a right to defend that flag.
Yeah, she has a right to, and I got a right to call her stupid.
Right. Well, yeah, because she's a disillusioned black person, you know, who really is not sure what they are. That's what I believe. They're not sure. They're in between white and black. They're just kind of neutral, you know. Because there's no reason why any black person would defend the Confederate flag. But the one thing I see, we got about 3 minutes left. The one thing I've noticed about this Confederate flag, the people who defend the flag don't say that the flag is not meant to be racist. The people who say the Confederate Sons of Alabama or whatever, who defend the flag, they don't see nobody who defends that flag has come out and say, okay, we don't want this used as racist. So KKK, Aryan Nation, Hitler buddies, whatever your name is, we don't want you using this as a tool for racism. We don't want you using it for that because
the flag is a symbol.
That's what I'm saying. They won't come out and say that listen, KKK, if you're listening, or Aryan Nation, if you're listening, we don't want you using this as a tool for racism because this flag isn't about racism. They can't say that because the flag is about racism.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to see, now Hattie McDaniel won the Oscar 75 years ago for playing Mammy and Gone with the Wind. Now they want to get rid of Gone with the Wind. Now that's a piece of black history right there.
Mm-hmm.
She won the Oscar in 1940. Well, racism was crazy back then, you know. And she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress and for playing the Mammy in the Gone with the Wind. So this is double-edged sword there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, do we destroy a piece of black history? Because she was the first black person to win an Oscar. Do we destroy that because we I think it's a little overreaching. Now
one of the major sororities is actually dedicated to her, Hattie McDaniels, and they do a lot of great community work. But I think in the context of talking about that, that's different. But you know, the one thing that I am adamant about the flag is it didn't just represent a conservative point of view, it represented a separation of the country for slavery. And I happen to be the one that did
that. Right. Because the Confederates fought for slavery. You got about 60 seconds left.
They wanted to keep me a commodity.
The Confederates fought for slavery to continue.
Yep.
But the funny thing about it, though, is the Democrats were the Republicans were the abolitionists back in the day, and the Democrats
were the slave owners. So that's crazy.
Yeah, so the script has been totally flipped. All right, everybody, we got about 30 seconds left, so we're going to say our goodbyes. We thank you so much for joining us on the program today, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show, and possibly Mayor Wayne Smith. So until then, everybody,
see you later.
Until everybody, take care of yourself, and we'll be back next week with another edition of the show. So until then, peace. And fly that flag later.